It's my, it really is my privilege and a great pleasure for me to serve as a leader in this church, to serve as the pastor in this church. And it's for a season. Everything's for a season. I will not always be the pastor of this church. And there'll come a time where my season for leading will come to an end. And somebody else will stand here and lead in this church. There's a thought, isn't it? It's hard to imagine that. But there'll come a time when that happens. But at this point in time, it's my great honour. And I think back to when I was just a wee boy of 23 coming into this church. It feels like I was a wee boy at that time. A long time ago, and really I've grown up in this church, and Nat, you were an influence in my life in those days. So I'm really pleased that you're here today to hear this, a good influence, might I say. Better be specific. And you have grown up in this church alongside so many of you, and always willing to serve, and always happy to be in the background in the church life. I was always happy to kind of be doing things in the background, small groups, youth, serving, just kind of keep me out of the limelight and I'll be quite happy. And then one day Andrew asked me to preach, and I thought my knees were all going to come out of joint. I was so nervous. And I sometimes think God's got a sense of humour, and that he calls people to do things that they're not necessarily the best person to do. And so God equips you for the things that he wants you to do. And it's interesting, you know, we kind of think, well, how do we deal with our failures? And part of life is learning how to deal with disappointment and failure and all those kinds of things. But it's also a challenge to know how to deal with success. When things start to go right and people are tempted to pat you in the back and say, good job, that was really good, you know. It's like, and you go, aye, that was quite good, eh? I'm doing okay here. And pride can rise up in our hearts. And sometimes it's not just so much how to deal with failure, but it's actually how to deal with success. And that's just as important. And I want to just remind us that let's be aware of things that creep into our thinking, our corporate thinking, our individuals and our families, and that we don't allow pride to creep into what we're doing in church. The Catechism says man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It's funny, you were asking me about Belinda earlier, and a while ago she asked me about that very thing, and I says, it's not, she says, I'm trying to find it in the Bible. I says, it's not in the Bible, it's one of the catechisms, and we used to talk about that in youth many years ago. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It's not about us, it's about him and about what he can do through us. And Psalm 115 verse 1 says this, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. The reason we're here is we're here for him. It's about him today. And my prayer is that God would just demonstrate his presence as we gather together as church. This is my prayer that I pray every week, that God would just demonstrate his presence in church as we come together and as we scatter and go abroad. And today I want to think, we're going to continue thinking about the Holy Spirit today. And I want to think about the Holy Spirit and new birth. And Jeanette read that passage. In fact, probably the most famous passage in the New Testament is found in the reading that Jeanette gave today, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's that everlasting life that God wants to give us as we put our trust and faith in him. One of the things that we believe as Assemblies of God, there's a series of 12 statements, and this is the fourth one, is that we believe in the salvation, in salvation through faith in Christ, who, according to the Scriptures, died for our sins, was buried, and was raised from the dead, and on the third day, and that through his blood we have redemption. And that's the first part of this fourth statement of faith. The second part of that fourth statement is this. This experience is also known as the new birth and is an instantaneous and complete operation of the Holy Spirit upon initial faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to find out what Assemblies of God believes, we are an Assemblies of God church, aoggb.com/what we believe. Dead simple. So you can look them up for yourselves. But that's one of them. We referred to one last week, but I didn't read it out, about how we believe that God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. We're thinking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And today I want us just to think about the work of the Holy Spirit when it comes to creating new life within us, this new birth that we're talking about. I want to say a few things just as a preface what I'm going to share today. You can't earn salvation. You can't buy your way into heaven. As much as people would like to think they could, you can't do that. It's not about money. And the people who are orientated by money have already counted up the pound coins on the screen and know that there's £20 on the screen there, eh? Who's all done that? I'm only kidding. You can't earn your way into the kingdom of God. You can't buy your way into the kingdom of God. You can't hope to do enough good. And some people think about this, and I've heard people saying this, that, you know, when I die, I hope that the scales of good outweigh the scales of the bad things that I've done. You know, we hope it tips in the right way so that I've done enough good to get in. Let me tell you, the eternal security in God, an eternal future, is not about tipping the scales so that you don't do more good things than bad things. It's not about that. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and it also tells us that the new life, the eternal life, the salvation life, the God life, can only be given to us as we respond to what God is saying in faith. So, when the scales of justice are in question, I want to say to you that Jesus, what he did was he took all the bad out of that side of the scales and he put it upon himself, and he took that upon himself so that our account might be emptied, our sin account might be emptied, so that when God sees us in eternity one day, he says, "In you come." The third thing that I want to say is that you can have complete and utter assurance of salvation through accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you also need to make him Lord. And do you know something? This week I was putting this little message together, and I was putting the presentation together, and as I was thinking about this blessed assurance, I came across this little image, and I put it in my presentation. And I was so tempted to say to Sarah, "I'd really like us to sing that song, Blessed Assurance, on Sunday." But then I remembered what I said a few weeks ago about how we don't talk about things, we pray and we ask God to inspire us, and lo and behold, what did Sarah pick? Blessed Assurance. So there you go. Prayer works. I was praying. I was like, I'm going to just ask her. I was like, no, let's just pray about it and see what happens. Hey, it's exciting, isn't it? That salvation that we're longing for, the complete life, a full life, a free life, is possible when we come in faith to God and we say, okay, here I am. I know I can't buy my way into heaven. I can't buy my way into your good books. I can't do more good than bad. It's not about that. It's about me putting my trust in you and asking you to come into my life and fill me with your Spirit and give me the ability to live the way that you want. And I'm going to think a wee bit more about that next week, because we'll think about the Holy Spirit in relation to conviction, in relation to conscience. So we'll think about that next week. But for today, it's a simple act of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's accepting that when he died on that cross, and he said it's finished, that actually that's the case. And all I need to do is put my trust in him. And Jesus is having a discussion with a man called Nicodemus. He was one of the rulers of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night because he was a wee bit afraid. He was a bit scared about what people would think coming to Jesus, because even by now, Jesus was getting a bad reputation amongst the religious rulers. Other people loved him, but the religious rulers didn't like him. And so Nicodemus, he came, he wanted to ask him some questions, and he came by night. And they begin to have this conversation, and Jeanette read that scripture for us today. But I want to just focus on some of those verses as we walk through the message that Jesus gave to Nicodemus. This is a picture from The Chosen. For those who have watched, are watching The Chosen. I've not watched it yet, but plan to. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." There's something happens that allows us to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus talks about two things here. He talks about water and he talks about spirit. And I'm a wee bit unsure about what he means by the first one still. Does by water mean human birth? And the fact that an average adult, me, consists of approximately 60% water. Did you know that? So when there's a full moon and you think people go a bit crazy, right? Remember what happens to the sea when the moon changes, okay? If we're 60% water, the moon's going to have a wee bit of an effect on us, eh? It's like in and out. Sometimes I feel like that. Not that I've ever howled on the night of a full moon, I have to say. But there's something about us. There's a human aspect to us, a physical aspect to us, but there also needs to be a spiritual aspect. Ecclesiastes 12:7. This is written by an old man. Solomon is an old man, and you can tell he's getting a bit kind of skeptical about life. And he says this, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So is Jesus talking about our kind of human body that needs to be born? I'm not sure that he is, because water is another analogy to the Holy Spirit. Let me read John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, this is just before Jesus is crucified, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him," and by this he meant the Spirit, "whom those who believed in him were later to receive, because up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." And Jesus himself likens the Spirit to water, and that when we invite the Holy Spirit in, it does something within us so that the Holy Spirit begins to work in us, and it's like streams of living water are coming out of us. So as we live our lives, as we talk about our faith, as we live out our faith, the Holy Spirit does something in us. And I've read commentaries that have different opinions about what Jesus is talking about here. But the crucial thing to grasp, and this is the most important thing, is that we can have and we need a spiritual rebirth. The Holy Spirit comes in when we invite him. When we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, our sins are washed away and we become clean again. We can be healed. We can be free, even from the things that people have done to us that we had no control over. There are things which happened to us and we wish they'd never happened to us. And we had no control over those things. And it leaves scars in our lives. It leaves us with things in our minds that we think about, wounds that need healed. And I really believe that when we invite God into our lives, he can come and he can bring healing to the very inside, to the core of our being. Those scars, Jesus can heal those scars. And it's an incredible thing. Just imagine yourself standing underneath a shower after you've been working in the garden all day, or you've been out for a walk and you're all sweaty and dusty, and just that moment where you stand under the shower and you just let the clean water just wash over you, and you come out and you just feel like a brand new person. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. Am I the only person in here who has showers? No? Just checking. And so God can come by his Spirit and he can wash over us. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. There's a spiritual rebirth that needs to happen in our lives. John chapter 3, verse 6 says this, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." Now, when we talk about flesh, the Bible can use the same word for different things. It can talk about flesh referring to our old sinful nature, the things that we do by nature that we don't like. But it can also talk about just the human body. And flesh gives birth to flesh. And I'm sure we all know how that works. And I don't need to give you a biology lesson today, okay? Thankfully. I remember when that moment was coming in school where we were going to get that talk. And I'm like, I don't want to be at school when we give us that talk. But flesh gives birth to flesh. And as we thought about last week, the Holy Spirit can create life. And we thought about the creation last week and how the Holy Spirit was there when all of creation came into being. And also the Holy Spirit can bring a physical person back to life again. The Holy Spirit can do that. The Holy Spirit did that with Jesus and raised him from the dead. We can't do that. Can anybody do that? We can create another life, a human life, but only God can breathe the Spirit into that life. Think about all the code. Sorry, I'm tempted to go back into this biology lesson, okay? There's two things come together at conception. And all the code, sorry, I'm doing it. I can't help it, right? All the code that's necessary for a little human being is already written in there, and we create new life, and God breathes new life into a new person. John chapter 6, verse 63, the first part says this: the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. I don't know about you, I need to be energized by the Holy Spirit every day. Only the Spirit can create spiritual life in us. We can't buy it, we can't earn it, we can't hope that we've done enough good. The Holy Spirit does it, and it's an act of faith on our part to accept it. When you read this in your Bible, you'll see that the first word is capitalized. And I've capitalized the word the on the screen. The Spirit. The, if you remember, the lesson I taught many months ago is the definite article. Not a spirit, that's the indefinite article. The is the definite article. There is only one Spirit of God, and that's what it's referring to here. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit, small s, the spiritual life within us. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5 says this: but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, note that, it's because God is rich in mercy that he gives us his Spirit, that he offers forgiveness, that he offers new life. Rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. There it comes again. We were once spiritually dead, caught up in our sin, caught up in an old way of life, and then the Holy Spirit came in and deposited new life within us. It happened when we put our faith in Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 7, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. It's a spiritual rebirth. Once we were dead, now we're alive. Once we were dead because of sin, now we are made alive because of his mercy, his grace, and his righteousness. Do you know, when I worked in Mitsubishi, and I've told you this before, people used to ask me about my life, and I would use this expression when I would say I'm a Christian, they'd say, oh, that's interesting. What do you believe and all that kind of stuff? Well, I'd say, well, I'm a born-again Christian. And then they go, oh, no. He's one of them. But it gave me an opportunity to tell people about what it means to be spiritually reborn, to have the life of God living within us and changing us. Titus 3:5 says this: God our Savior saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. It's a work of God in our lives. We can't buy it. We can't hope to do enough good things to earn it. It's a work of God in our lives. Are you getting the picture? You already know this, I'm sure, but are you getting the picture? And there's a cleansing that comes through that rebirth, that renewal of the Holy Spirit. We're made clean on the inside. We're actually recreated to be the person that God intended us to be. I think there's something inside of all of us that longs for Eden, the garden that God planted. We read about it in Genesis, that God planted a garden in the east called Eden, and he placed the people in the garden, and it says that God walked in the garden with the people. They had fellowship with God. Sin came along and disrupted that fellowship, and they were pushed out of the garden. They were not allowed to come back into the garden. And I think that secretly inside of us, we're all longing for that connection with God. We're longing for Eden once again. But it only comes when we accept Jesus as our Savior. John chapter 3, verse 8, And Jesus goes on to say to Nicodemus, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And Jesus is talking to one of the religious leaders who should know what he's meaning here. Remember last week we talked about the word for spirit in the Old Testament? What is it? Ruach. Ruach. We're good at that. We are Scottish twangs. Ruach. It's the Hebrew for wind or spirit. And Nicodemus should be getting the gist of what Jesus is saying here. What was hovering over the waters at creation? The Ruach, the wind, the Spirit of God, was there ready to create. And what Jesus is saying is the same Spirit is hovering over people, ready to come in and to create new life. Nicodemus should have known this. And Jesus challenges him. He says, if I'm talking to you about earthly things and you don't understand, how can you understand if I talk to you about spiritual things? Well, let's think about earthly things. Let's think about what it's like to be up the top of a mountain. It's a wee hill, actually. It's called Tinto. On the 2nd of January, there are people in here who were on top of that hill. I took the picture, so was I. On the 2nd of January, and you know the force of the wind on top of that hill, because you can hardly stand in it. And it blows off all the wee Christmas cobwebs and everything that's gathered as you've been sitting in your sofa. But you can't see it. You've got an idea of the direction where it's coming from, but you don't see where it's coming from. You don't see where it's going. And yet you feel the force of the wind. We all know it. I was going nuts with the wind yesterday. It was coming from the east and slightly north. And I'm trying to do work in the garden. And I'm like, see this wind? It's doing my head in. It's freezing. Couldn't see it. Knew where it was coming from because my wee app tells me it's an east wind. And I'm like, well, I know, just stop. Thankfully, today it stopped. Gee whiz. Doing my head in. The point is that when it's windy, we feel the effect of the wind, don't we? You feel the effect. You can't see where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. We know by science that it's caused by high pressures and low pressures and the movement of air and all that kind of stuff. We know that now. But you still can't see it, but you can feel its effect. And this is what Jesus is saying. So it is with everyone that's born of the Spirit. You might not be able to understand the mystery. You might not be able to see what's happening, like physically, but there should be an effect. When we are filled with the Spirit of God, there should be an effect in our lives, and people should be different. If you say, I am a Christian, and the Holy Spirit's living within me, but you're still living the same way you lived before, maybe you need to come back to God and have a wee conversation. Now, I'm not saying that we don't struggle with sin. I'm not saying that we don't struggle with some of the things that we dealt with before we were a Christian. Sometimes there's a process of letting go, and we'll talk more about that next week. But we should enter into a freedom in our lives where the Holy Spirit brings change to our lives. And I just, as we finish things off today, I want to say a few last things. When the Holy Spirit comes in, there's a transaction, if you like. There's a deposit made into our lives. Who would love it if you went to your bank account tomorrow morning and you went, wow, £1,000 has just come in from a kind, generous donor. I wonder who did that. Eh? You'd be like, yes! I would be. I don't know about you. Some of you guys are looking very excited about that. There's a transaction when the Holy Spirit comes in. Something from heaven is deposited in our lives. There's a transaction. What do we pray? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth and on earth as it is in heaven. Let something from heaven come and be deposited into us here on earth. In me, Lord, may it be so. There's a deposit made into our lives. And that deposit only comes with our humble submission to God. Remember, we were talking about pride at the very start of the service today. If we think we can do this all in our own strength, and that pride creeps in, guess what? The Bible tells us that God takes proud people and he humbles them. And he takes humble people and he exalts them. Okay? We need to understand this. It's such an important principle. But there's a transaction that comes when we humbly submit to God and say, look, I can't do this on my own. These battles that I'm battling, I can't win these battles on my own. I need you to come in into my life. Secondly, something's imparted into us from heaven. The Spirit of God comes and lives in us. The all-present Spirit, the Spirit who's everywhere at all time, and I use this expression, if you think about our blue planet with its big blue line around us, our atmosphere, we think about that like the Holy Spirit who's everywhere at the same time. But the Holy Spirit is beyond that. We can't imagine the furthest galaxies. We've not begun, even with all our technology, to explore the furthest reaches of the universe. And the Holy Spirit is everywhere. It's incredible. And that same Holy Spirit, who's so massive that we can't understand, comes and lives in us. Isn't that amazing? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us and is able to empower us. Something is imparted. The third thing is that this should lead to a transformation in our lives. This should be a change, no longer being controlled by our old sinful desires and nature, but by the Spirit of God. And let me say that God doesn't override our free will. He never does. Even when we invite the Holy Spirit in, we still have our free will to choose to do the right or to do the wrong. But when we submit our will to His, as we give God access to our lives, He transforms us from the inside out. I want to just finish today by saying, and this is the crux of it, going to church does not make you a Christian. But when we're Christians, we want to go to church to be with other people. Doing enough good things so that they outweigh the bad things does not make you a Christian. Are we clear about this? We need to understand this. It's not about our good works. It's about the grace of God. It's about the mercy of God. And it's about the Spirit of God coming into our lives as we invite Him in. It's not about trying to do things in our own terms or in our own strength. That doesn't make you a Christian either. I know what it's like to try and work through some things, to work through battles and temptations and stuff like that, and the challenges. And you try to do it in your own strength, and then you realize all along, wait a minute, all I needed to do was ask God to come in and help me with that. And He brings transformation. Accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life is the key. Inviting the Holy Spirit into your life to create new life in you so that you're spiritually reborn. That's the response that God is looking for. And I'm sure there are many in here today who have made that decision, who've made that response to God. But maybe there are some people in here and you've never done that. You've never just opened your life up to God and asked Him to come in to deposit something in your life to begin to transform you in the inside and to bring healing into your life. Father, today we ask that You would just move by Your Spirit in every heart in this place. Father, move by Your Spirit upon the boys and girls who are over at Treasure Kids just now. Father, upon the boys and girls who come into Treasure Kids on a Wednesday night. The youth that come into Oxygen on a Thursday night. The toddlers that come in with their families on a Friday morning. To the older people who gather for season changers. To the women who meet and flourish. To those who gather for prayer. To those who serve in the life of the church. To all who come into this building. To all who would call this place home. Father, to those in our community who need You. Father, we have many needs in our community, but Father, our greatest need is for the Holy Spirit to live within us. And Father, I pray that You come by Your Spirit and that You fill many hearts. And Lord, that You would bring transformation through changing one person at a time in our community. Father, we pray for the families in our community. We pray for the homes in our community here in Whitburn and beyond to the various communities that we represent. And Lord, we ask that You would come by Your Spirit and that You would do a new thing. by your Spirit in our communities, amongst our families, amongst our neighbours, amongst our colleagues, amongst those who we go to school with, to college or university with. Father, we pray that you just demonstrate your kingdom power. And today, if you've never made a decision to invite Jesus into your heart, to invite the Holy Spirit in, then today I'm going to say a wee prayer. And I just ask that you pray this prayer after me. And if you've prayed it and you say amen to it, then come and just let me know at the end that you've done that. And I just want to pray with you and to help you on this journey. So this is the prayer. Just pray this prayer into your heart. Just pray it quietly into yourself after me and say amen at the end. And if you pray that prayer today, come and let me know. Here it is. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that Jesus died on a cross for my sin. That Jesus died that I could be free. I can't do this in my own strength. But I ask that you come in by your Spirit today, in this moment. Make me clean. Forgive me. Heal me. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, for anyone who's prayed that prayer today, whether in the building or online, or maybe somebody who even hears this long after this message has been preached, Father, we pray that you would come by your Spirit, and Father, that you would just do a new thing, that you'd create new life within every heart that responds to you in faith today. And Lord, I'm just mindful of that interpretation which Jeanette brought to the message in tongues earlier in the service. Father, I really believe there are people in here today who need to just come back to you afresh and, Father, just to receive from you that which they need. Lord, to cast their cares on you. Father, to take your burden and not their own. Father, to leave their burden at your feet and to take the burden which you want to put on them. Because, Father, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, there are people today maybe who are carrying things that are too heavy for them and they're not supposed to be carrying those things. And, Father, I pray today that it would just be that turning to you in faith. Lord, that it would be that turning to you and saying, I'm casting my burdens on you. I'm casting my cares on you because I know that you care for me. I know that you're a God who's just, a God who's merciful, a God who loves me. And Father, I just cast my burdens at your feet today and ask that you'd come and that you'd help me in my struggle and the thing that I'm struggling with today. And Lord, that I would know new strength coming from you. Father, a fresh strength that comes from the Holy Spirit within me. Lord, that you would do a new thing in my life today. And Father, we just pray, demonstrate your presence in every heart that turns to you. Father, we pray, may you be glorified. Father, we come before you and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord be with you. May you know his smile upon you today and in the week that comes. And we just ask for God's blessing on every family that's represented here today. The Lord go with you in Jesus' name.